listening to an Atomic Broadcasting production. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the feature presentation. And remember, do your part, such as like, comment, rate, and don't forget to tell a friend to tune in for an Atomic Time.
Hey guys, it's Abby here. Just a reminder, Atomic Broadcasting will be at Trementicon here in Springfield, Missouri this upcoming weekend, Friday, May 31st through June 2nd. Come drop by our booth and get some free merch. We'd love to chat with y'all. Be there or be ouvert. Okay, bye. My Chinese is here.
Now, where did we leave off? Yes. After talking out their differences, the party came back together. Val and Ouvert apologized, and they determined to keep the party united wherever they should go next.
Because of how my brain functions and things I do with my spouse, whenever you said that, my knee-jerk reaction was to just shout, "You're so pretty!"
Don't know.
I understand how you feel, Jenkins.
I don't.
Do you not do that with your spouse?
No.
Maybe
sorry.
I mean, I don't shout like that. I have my other. There's other things that Olivia and I say that I am constantly like trying not to say to other people when they say the same things
all the time.
No, that's on that note,
I don't have that. I have the coworker version of that.
Everyone's got it with someone.
Yeah.
Okay. So, quick funny story on that note. So, I work at a call center. Basically, I answer the phone the same way every time. Mm-hmm. I was playing the other day, playing the game Phasmophobia, and one of the ways you can interact with the ghosts is with a spirit box, and you can talk to the ghost and see if it'll talk back to you in the spirit box. So I turned it on and went, "Credit, this is Jordy."
What did the ghost say?
Nothing.
I need to. I need some help with my credit.
Hold on, I don't quite know what I have. Give me a minute to look through this.
Kill.
The ghost is like, "I was only a vengeful spirit because my credit score was bad."
I'd be like, "Can I have your name?" "Oh yeah, hold on 1 minute.
Can you raise my limit?"
"Can you raise my limit?"
That?
"Don't risk eternal damnation. Switch to Experian."
Not sponsored. The thing that you said, Petit, "Can I have your name?" "Yeah, 1 second," and then just like 3 minutes of silence. That hits so hard.
Experitin.
Well, the fact that I work, it's not really a call center, but the help desk sort of things, they call for help, and then I ask them for very basic information, like their login username or where are you logging in at? "Oh, hold on, I'm not next to my computer." "Then why'd you call me?" "Call me when you can do things."
I get calls from customers, and they're like, "Hey, I want to go over my account." And I'm like, "All right, what's the account number?" "I don't know. I'm on the road right now."
Exactly.
"Then why are you calling?"
"Well, I just remembered now." I mean, I have a bank account that I have been needing to close for...
That hurts my soul.
Probably a year at this point. It's got 57 cents left in it. But I have to go there in person to close it because I can't just call.
Yeah.
I get paged out to the floor, and I get out there. I interrupt whatever I'm doing at my desk, my work, and I go out to the floor. "Hey, I got a question about this." "That's not my department." "Why'd you call me? You could have called me, and I could have told you that, or I could have given you the answer."
Yeah. See, at work, we use Microsoft Teams, and it is just the best thing because I could just quickly shoot a question to somebody that, you know, like if I don't know, I can say, "Hey, what's the answer to this?" And if they're available, they can answer.
I'm a machine shop.
You're okay, a machine shop? I believe it. I mean, you're pretty handy.
Teams for mechanics.
Hmm?
Teams for mechanics. I'm sure they have what is it that Linux uses? Distribution. A mechanics distro.
No, we have teams at work as well. It's just the people on the floor don't have access to Teams.
Make them do the work. Make them get up, walk over to a computer, a laptop, and make them send a message. Or give you a call.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, make them.
I can't.
Don't get up. Don't give in to the pressure.
I called them.
I mean, okay. Yeah.
Speaking of teams, let's see what our favorite team has been up to. Our group had just reformed a tentative alliance between them all, kind of smoothed over some bumps in the road, And I think you all are getting set to head out from Trollforge. Is that right?
Yeah.
I believe so.
I think that sounds right.
But I would like to stop by that one town with the shadow people. Is that like a midway point between the 2 points that we were thinking about going to?
Well, we do need to discuss where we're thinking about going to.
I think that's why he wants to go to the town.
I figured that that is kind of a midpoint because I know that from there we can branch off into like 3 different directions. Back to Joel, to the Grunkir, and then that one guy with the army.
But we might have to stay at the Trollforge for a bit because he's forging something and we're not going to be able to come back here.
He's forging something?
He's forging an like arm right now? For me.
Yeah, Pilgrim's working on a new prosthetic arm for Val. He did repair her original arm, so you can move on if you want, but he is working on like an improved model.
Let's find out how long that's going to take, and then we can discuss.
Oh, maybe another day or two?
Well, I think it would be best if we're staying for a few days to, once we're done, go to the town. Since it's sort of in between each of the Aritsons that are in the forest, set up sort of a small base there. That way we can just return back and then start again anew.
That sounds fine.
Is that agreeable to everyone? And he looks around at Neros, Zephyr, and Uver.
It sounds fine to me as long as we have something to do. I get bored easily.
You could always play slap hands.
Nobody not actually. Wants to play slap hands.
That sounds fun. What's that?
Well, what do you know about helmets?
What do you know about helmets?
The next thing we see is our team heading out from the Trollforge, all mounted on the horses they had rented. And they're going down the mountain trails, and we see a helicopter shot around them as they're going over a ridge. And we get to see a close-up of Val's new prosthetic arm. It is a silverish material. We're not sure what it is, though, because when Val received the arm, I imagine you would ask what it was made out of.
Yeah.
Pilgrim is a little bit cagey about it. Just, some metals I found around the forge. But I did have a bit of time to put in a nice feature you may find of use. And he flicks the arm as he's holding it in his hand. And out of the forearm, blades of metal swing out and all collide together in the shape of a small rounded shield attached to the arm.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, mechanically speaking, the prosthetic arm comes with a fold-away steel shield built into the arm. So, as a single action, you can equip or unequip the shield just out of the arm.
Would Uver recognize the metal?
Make a crafting check.
Just for clarification, when you say equip or unequip, does it also count as the raised shield action?
It does not. You'd have to use a separate action to raise the shield.
Does so it's it flavor. Take up a hand?
It does not take up a hand.
Ah, there we go.
Can I also roll crafting?
Yeah.
26.
23.
So both of you can recognize that it is some form of alloy, because due to the weight and the hardness, it's like this is not going to be any base metal you're aware of. There's definitely mithril involved in the alloy because it is very lightweight and very hard, but apart from that, it's hard to tell exactly what it's made out of. It's also a little odd because you didn't see any mithril in the mine. Or, sorry, in the forge, rather.
He was made of mithril the whole time.
Well, it's very beautiful, and I'm very grateful for it. Thank you. Your craftsmanship has been very blessed.
I'm glad that my work has been of service to you, and I hope it is of service much more as you continue on with your adventure.
I hope we see you again.
I'll be here, working on my projects.
We'll do our best to come back.
And as the majority of the group kind of starts heading off in this flashback scene and packing their bags and getting ready to leave, Uver, you're staying behind.
Mm-hmm.
Your craftsmanship, Pilgrim. It is unique, I would say.
Well, I don't suppose there are a lot of troll smiths that you've seen the work of before?
I have seen the works of many great smiths, just because of my homeland and my people. Pilgrim, you've known more than you've told us, I think. And I don't think that's bad. But the skills that you have shown aren't something that you can pick up in a few days. I don't think.
Well, I did do a bit of beating on some metal back in my homeland.
And may I ask where your homeland is, Pilgrim?
North of here.
North? Far north?
It's a ways away, yeah?
I think you have a good teacher. Or I've had a good teacher.
He kind of smiles to himself and picks up his hammer and just starts hammering on something, kind of idly, almost just like to keep his hands busy.
I look forward, Pilgrim, to see what many more great things come out of your craftsmanship.
It's just nice to have someone who appreciates the art, I suppose.
Fare thee well, Pilgrim. I hope to see you again.
And as Uver walks away, the camera remains on Pilgrim as he's beating the metal, and he looks up and watches, sees that Uver's out of the room. He's alone, and he says to himself,
Pilgrim, you old fool. You're pushing it too far, you know. You've bent the Concord nearly to breaking. But the others will have to understand.
And we do a white transition back to seeing our group horseback mounted and heading north out of the valley. You're not quite able to make it back to Solskine. As your journey in, you did need to camp on the way halfway between Solskine and Trollforge. So you break camp or set camp along the way, find a nice clearing, start a fire, set your watches, and in the middle of the night, between two watches, Uver, you go to wake Zephyr to take over watch for you?
Yeah.
Zephyr.
Yes?
It is your watch, I believe.
Oh, all right. What time is it? Wait, I can tell that. Sorry, I forget about these things that gradually appear in my repertoire over time.
As Zephyr gets up and Uver moved over because he's at your tent, he doesn't go to his tent like you would expect, like any other nights. He almost just sits down next to you.
At this point, Zephyr is starting to stand up.
Outside, like he waits for you to get outside to where your watch is by the fire or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Aren't you going to go take a beauty sleep?
Over the years, I've learned to live a little bit off of less sleep than some, but I will go soon. Zephyr, you spoke to me in the cave.
Briefly, yes. A few times. I apologize for my conflicting...
No, you were right. You are right about a lot of things. There's... I feel it too. What you feel.
Remind me what that is. I'm sorry. Like I said, a lot of conflicting things.
You need direction.
Oh, yes. Definitely that.
It seems we get pulled by the tides of chaos, so to speak. One way or another. Always chasing something. But never really going somewhere.
I feel like that quite often.
I don't want to be a leader, Zephyr. And I'm not suggesting I should. But as someone else who has felt the same way, we need to find a direction. The party needs a direction. And it doesn't have to be mine. But we need one.
I wholeheartedly agree. Did you ever used to be a leader? I know that you're missing a lot of
the things that may have had that in it, but you have a lot of... I mean, I guess it comes with age, but you have a lot of leadership skills within you. I've just never felt from someone else.
Don't know if I've been a leader, honestly, Zephyr. In my memories that I have, I've always been alone, traveling. Sometimes I'd travel with people, but never as a party such as this. In my memory, I could be wrong. I could have been a king for all I know. It sounds ridiculous, but...
Maybe a mad king, any hitching the ribs.
I hope not. But I find leading people difficult. Everyone has their own will and where they think they should go. And I don't think I have the skills, I think quite obviously over the last few days, to influence that. I know I have my own way that I feel I should follow, but I don't know, Zephyr. I don't have an answer. I don't know why I'm speaking like an old fool, I guess, but no, I needed to talk to somebody.
I appreciate it. I find myself at a lot of times in all of this time thinking about needing a leader, I don't think I've ever taken the opportunity to step up myself.
Zephyr, why do you think you need a leader? Why do you think you need to be led?
Well, without a goal, there's nothing to look forward to. And without anything to look forward to, what's the point of doing anything?
And in many ways, you are right. But sometimes I think you need to make your own goal in life and where you are going, to make something that you are living for and moving towards. And even as you accept your contracts and set those as your goal, you've identified so much of yourself to your contracts that I think you have lost your identity from them. You are your own person, Zephyr. Skilled. A good warrior. A good person, I would say.
I hesitate to say thank you, but... nonetheless, thank you.
You said I have qualities of a leader. I think you also do as well.
I only wish that all of the end goals of each of my contracts... got to see what I had accomplished, considering they all, you know.
Uver kind of has that look of he understands what you're saying, but it's like that's a weird way of putting it.
As is the way of Zephyr.
Yeah.
I think perhaps Zephyr, the planning and energy it takes to do your contracts can be put elsewhere. And then everyone can see the result. It is just a shift of focus.
I've got a lot to think about, considering that. I think you're right. It's been so long, I don't know if I can shift that focus.
I believe in you, my friend. I do.
And with that, Uber gets up and goes to his tent.
Zephyr kind of just whispers, good night. Good night.
In a normal way. Usually you say good night so horrifyingly.
Don't worry about it.
And as Zephyr wishes Uver goodnight and he heads to his tent and Zephyr takes his watch for the night, we just begin to camera pulls back. We slowly fade to black. And after a brief pause, hard cut to two tankards of ale being crashed into each other as we are now in the tavern in the Shadow Town. The tankards pull apart and we see our group sitting all at a table together in the corner as adventuring parties do.
Jordy, you should be a cinematographer. That was wonderful.
And there goes our budget.
What's the name of this place?
The Chunky Loaf.
The town.
Oh, the town. Soulskin.
Soulskin, okay.
The chunky loaf?
What?
Yeah.
Do you not remember that?
Gross.
What's the chunky loaf?
That's the name that's of the tavern in Soulskin.
So did they find the shadow people around this place? Like,
as much as I would feel like we probably should help, I feel like it's not our place. We're doing something else right now.
I mean, it seems like it's already been solved. Considering how
they
joyous
unionized.
Everyone is.
The shadow people.
That was just their strike. That was their that was their protest to instill fear into the townsfolk to come across a result.
Asking around town, it becomes quickly apparent that while you were all at the Troll Forge and a different adventuring party came through, there's like a lizard folk fighter, an elvish mage, and a halfling rogue. I couldn't think of the word halfling. Three of them came in, asked around, killed some like necromancer dude who was causing things. Everything's fine now. They're off in another place doing their own adventure.
Too bad. I would have liked to meet them.
The necromancer or the party?
Well, maybe depends both on your opinions of the afterlife.
So, since that's taken care of, I know I shouldn't be throwing things out because, I mean, we're a party. Where should we go?
Right, can you get out the map you have?
Uwe.
Bloop.
Uwe, thank you.
Wow, such a realistic map sound.
It's wet.
Yeah, it's wet.
Sounds just like map. His notebooks.
That's where he stores it.
My notebooks are in the library, Steph.
So he has a bag of holding, but it's got an Olympic-sized pool in the bag.
Did we mention that staff has the water trait?
The wand of quenching.
I put the wand
happened
of quenching too close to the library staff.
So as your group pours over this map.
Oh!
The wand of paper mache at this point.
Ooh, Jordy, you lose a hero point.
Thank you.
So, where is there to get?
Right, so we believe that there's a group in the northwest-ish area. Is that correct?
Northeast-ish.
Okay. North, oh, right. West is the other way, yeah. Northeast-ish area, and then there's another one more toward the west. Depending on which one we want to go to, and depending on how much time it all will take.
Let me see here. Yeah, Brengir is west of Joel. He's in the Grungir Forest with a camp of warriors. And I know about Ordfest, the zealot in Joel, though. Who's this other fellow in the Grungir Forest that you're talking about?
I have a list. Hold on. I have a list.
Alward has a list. Lore accurate.
Alward, you have so many notes.
It's important to keep notes.
I would agree.
Yes.
I had a list, but it just has names on it, and I don't know what's going on with these people. Lore accurate.
All Zephyr has is a list of names.
A list of
now,
names.
Do I need to kill this man, or am I working for this man?
Wait, is this the good list or the bad list? Ah, oh, Santa's got it so hard.
It's, I found it. It's Ilva, something about reinforcements and them having issues. I think they're trying to recruit some people in the Grungir Forest. Maybe I'm not positive.
Interesting. And she's closest to us?
Yes, she would be the one northeast.
Say we're gonna go to this person and then Brengir we can just hit as we just continue west?
Well, maybe. I don't know how long it will take for us to get to... How long will it... So
where your lead takes you to look into Ilva, it's, you know, she's in this area of the Grungir Forest, but you don't know exactly where, and you're about a day's travel from the edge of the forest right now.
And it's 2 days back to Copperburget?
Yes, but to Tomgrove is where
your
family is right now.
Tomgrove, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who is the Fae Touched?
Hodi.
Do you know where Hodi is?
You did not get a lead on him.
Oh.
Right. Didn't he have like a special mission that we weren't sure? Or was he the one that was supposed to gather the hearts of the people?
Yes.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So you know the gist of what he's doing, but not where.
As long as I'm back in Tomgrove by the end of the month to get my mom her medicine, we're good. But I'll just keep that in mind when we're planning.
I would also like to throw out there that
We are under a constant threat of a spooky boogeyman who wants to potentially kill everyone besides me. So just keep that in the back of your mind. If you,
I thought you were going to point out the fact that we have already murdered now two of their people, and they wanted us dead before that.
Well, do they know that we did it?
Presumably.
Actually, we don't have witnesses.
Well, to the first one, they... Well, no, she was the only...
They didn't want her anyway. The only reason they were after us
in the first place was because of the helmet. I guess there is another person that knows us, and that's the young one. The new Ziggy.
I think we got off on the right hand.
Is that the mood you got with that interaction?
Sort of. Maybe.
No.
Wasn't there also the girl that you pretended to be a door?
Yes, that was the person I was referring to. I mean, she tried to kill me, but that's not unlike most of my interactions with women.
I don't think we've tried to kill you.
Well, we know each other. We know each other better than that.
Is it because you tried to kill these women?
Oh, no, I didn't try to kill them. It's their fault. It's definitely nothing I do.
On the topic of killing, can we stop killing everyone?
That would be lovely.
What about the people that were literally out there to kill?
We didn't have to kill that last guy.
I agree.
Well, don't make it worse.
He wouldn't have left well enough alone. You heard him.
It was either kill or maim, and I personally don't feel like I should maim someone for the rest of their life. Either living or dying.
Yeah. There are some people in this world that are too far gone. That will not stop regardless of what you wish.
We could have kept him under Pilgrim's custody, or...
Everybody has an opportunity and chance to change their ways. But some people deny that chance, and...
Like, I understand when it's necessary, like, Dirtha, she would have... murdered us all if something wasn't done, and but he was trying to escape and running away.
And so he gave him a chance to change.
So he can take a sword that would unleash a mad king that would kill multiple people.
But we just had to get the sword from him.
He wouldn't have given it up without his life.
We could have knocked him out and then we could have taken it.
But then I would have had another target on my head. And
then he would have done what? Gone back and told the family if they don't already know? Have another enemy to fight in the end?
They probably already. But
speaking of other enemies, I mean, we gotta figure out where we're gonna go.
Right. Sorry to get off topic, Sevier. It's been on my mind lately.
The dead are dead. We don't have to think about anymore. We got what we came for, and that's all I need.
I understand both of you. Why killing is difficult. You haven't killed before, have you?
I just don't want it to continue.
And that's what we're trying to stop, Howard.
Let's just focus on where we're going.
I'll make a deal with you, Howard. I will not immediately try to kill them. The next person we go to.
If you wish, you don't have to kill anyone.
I mean, I do my best not to, but you all seem pretty keen.
Thank you.
I'm very against it.
Oh, thank you.
But I did lose myself in that last battle.
It happens.
I did try to get him to stop. Also, I don't think Neros is too keen on killing either.
No.
Oh, that's good to know.
Am I the only one here that...
Uwe's also pretty happy to murder.
No, it's not happy to murder.
But if we don't have to, then we shouldn't.
All right, well, if we're setting that in stone, I will figure out if I can do non-lethal damage.
With a -2.
If there is a chance that they will give up without harming anyone else, then so be it. But we don't need to hesitate to do what must need be done sometimes. And sometimes... to kill is what needs to be done.
Let's just move on.
Yeah, who's the next person that we can potentially not kill?
I vote the one in the north. I'm going to go back to the kitchen to check on our food. I don't trust the chef.
What was her name again?
Ilva.
Let's aim to go there first, and then when we're done with that, we'll look at how much time we have before you have to get home to your mum.
Thank you.
Right, does that work for everyone?
It's the top of the Gringir Forest.
Top of the forest to you.
Which, Uver, you know,
Irish.
You know, the portion of the forest that we're looking at going to now is a little bit to the east of where you want to go. But if you all swing around through where you want to go on your way to the next target near the Gringir Forest, that's not too far out of the way.
That works.
I think that going to the north would be best, especially if we have a time frame. And on the way, maybe we can get some help to the other target.
How's the food that I went to check on to remove myself from the situation?
So when you go back into the kitchen, like, the chef and, like, one of the maids, they're, like, talking, and then they, like, look up and see you, and they're like, the food will be done soon.
That's fine. I'm just going to go and finish cooking the food.
And, like, the chef, like, reaches out to, like, stop you and then just, like, stops. And they kind of just look at each other and just back away. What's your perception bonus?
Moderately okay. 11.
Oh, yeah. As you're starting cooking, you overhear the maid telling the chef, I think they're killing people. We should just let them cook.
I was just like, it's an adventure. I'm sorry.
Just let them cook. Just let
them
cook.
Let them cook.
When I'm done cooking, I'm going to bring out the food.
Are there other towns on our way to where we're going?
No, you're heading out into the hinterland.
Okay, then I think we're going to stay the night here, then stock up on supplies and head out.
Yep.
Sounds good to me. I have some shopping I want to do, I guess, while in town, but should be good.
So the next morning, shopping taken care of, a good night's sleep under your belts.
I had a little thing I was doing with it.
You
it
wanted to do a thing with it?
Something. Would that be available in this town?
Yeah.
Okay.
So as the party is getting ready to leave town, Val's kind of just hanging in the back because she's still not as back in her confident, happy mood as she was. And she looks off at a storefront and kind of stops, looks mesmerized by something, and then just kind of trails off from the group towards the store. And then she gets going to go inside and start bartering, talking for a few minutes. She comes out and realizes that the others aren't near her. And she's like, oops. And she's kind of still adjusting some stuff under her armor. She pulls up like her sleeve. She's like a sleeve of something she's wearing under her armor is kind of sticking out through her armor now. And it's got like little, it looks like it's kindling just a little bit. Like it's got a little bit of ash coming off of it and a little bit of like orange warmth. And then she starts running because she realizes she's really far behind from the others now.
As Val starts to get closer to the group.
Hey, has anyone seen Val? She was right here with us.
No, I'm still here.
Oh.
Hi.
You must have hidden with the shadows.
I just went to grab something. No need to worry.
Oh, all right.
At that store back there.
Yes.
Did you get us anything?
No. Oh. No, I didn't. No.
It's kind of a rule. You have to get us something while you're there.
No, it's not. Don't listen to him.
Oh.
Could have got a piece of candy.
I've got a piece of candy. Do you need a piece of candy?
If it's not fresh, I don't want it. I'm sorry.
I mean, it wasn't from the factory or whatever they made. No.
So, as you set out from town, mounted upon your rented horses and heading off towards the Gringir Forest, who is leading the pack?
Uver, probably.
Yeah, probably me. Map and his survival's good.
All right, Uver, go ahead and make me a survival check.
With a plus one.
With a plus one item bonus.
14. I rolled a 2 on the die.
All right. Will everybody make me a perception check?
Oh, that's not a d20.
Natural 20, 29.
18.
I rolled a nat 1. These dice still hate me.
You perceive nothing.
I'm too busy looking at stuff.
That's a 29.
Fine. Okay. And Neros?
17.
All right. So Uver and Val both notice as you're heading off towards the woods, it's not a difficult route at all. So even with a 14, you're just making your journey a little bit slower. It's not quite as efficient a route. It's not like you're going to get lost on your way to the woods. But with your perception checks, you notice that the weather seems to be shifting. And despite the fact that it's late spring moving into summer, the temperature seems to be dropping far more rapidly than you would expect as it's getting towards the afternoon.
You just notice, or if anybody's watching, Uver, as he's walking, he's, you know, looking at the map and going along the trail and kind of frowning a little bit because he's lost in thought. But you see him just kind of every now and again, he looks up, just looking up at the sky and frowning a little bit and just kind of shaking his head I'm sure the cool breeze is just hitting him. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he's just kind of sniffing the air, but not for the time. And you just hear him muttering to himself, perhaps, as like, this is something's weird. That's different for this season that I remember. That
it's awfully cold. Is anyone big on weather stuff?
It's
just odd, you know? Have I ever been in nature?
I will take a nature or a survival check.
Can I try
to identify
a nature
what's
check?
Happening?
Have I ever been to the Grungnir Forest?
No.
Okay. I've never really been here, so I'm not sure if, you know, this is normal for the temperatures, but it's getting very cold.
27 for nature.
16.
Okay.
24.
Oh, 24. 24. Sam. I don't know what's going on, Sam. Rolls really high.
You suddenly remember what's going on.
I just said I haven't been here before. I was curious.
So with those results, Alward and Val, you both identify that despite the lateness of the season, it seems to be shifting towards a blizzard kicking up.
I hope everyone brought their warm clothes.
You have about 2 hours before it's going to be the thick of the storm.
We should probably set up camp. And
camp would probably be a good idea, Alward. Maybe we can get a little bit closer. I think we have a bit of time.
Uver, do you know how to handle a blizzard while traveling?
Make a survival check.
Roll high, please. That works. 26.
Yeah, so not only do you know how to create a shelter, but you feel reasonably confident that if you find a suitable spot, it would only take you about a half an hour to do it without requiring another check.
Yes.
How long do you think we have until we can have to hunker down? The storm's going to get here in maybe 2 hours, presumably.
We can go about another hour, preferably 40 minutes, just to give us a little bit of time. But I can set up something in a half an hour, I think, real quick.
You turn around and see Zephyr, like, slowly putting his tent stuff back in his bag, like he was about ready to start pulling stuff out.
In fact, we will probably need to hurry if we want to set that up right.
Let's get moving a little quicker and so we can rest.
So as you begin pushing forward, you know, hustling as it were, trying to make a little bit more distance before the storm hits, as you crest a hill, you notice a thin trail of smoke that you hadn't seen earlier that's a little ways ahead and around a bend over another hill.
Seems someone else has had the same idea.
Should we go that way or just try not to make ourselves known?
Is that a pretty decent spot for a blizzard or a blizzard camp?
Up ahead, it's hard to tell because it's, you know, round a bend
around
over a hill.
Yeah.
But it looks like it would be a fairly sheltered spot.
It would be against a hill, perhaps. There would be a place that doesn't face the wind.
I don't really think we need to check it out since it's the blizzard's about to happen.
We're
but
going to go around the hill anyway. I don't think we need to check it out in case there's danger, but yeah. We do need to go that way.
I do think it'd be smart if we didn't make a fire. I can just continuously warm up like a rock or something for us to stay warm.
I think we'll need a fire. I don't think we can rely on that the whole time.
Depends on the strength of the blizzard, but
yeah,
it may be a fire necessary to not die. So as you press forward and you go around that bend, there seems to be a small hamlet, a couple small dwelling places, and one, the largest of the houses, has a trail of smoke leading out of the chimney. And there seems to be an older man outside of the building chopping wood.
Well, maybe he'll let us stay with him for a day or a night or however long this blizzard lasts.
You turn around and see Zephyr slowly putting his tent back in his
bag. Uver, seeing that, he just casually walks up.
I'm going to go with Uver.
So, interjection.
Yeah.
Yes. What languages do you all speak?
I have Celestial, Common, Draconic, Dwarven, Elven, Jotun, and Sylvan.
Okay.
Both Commons, Dwarven, Elven, Jotun, and Sylvan.
Abyssal and Undercommon.
Necrol, Shadow Tongue, and Undercommon.
All right.
Common, Draconic, Dwarven, Elvish, Gnomish, Halfling, Jotun, Scald, Hallet, Tien, Ancient Thessalonian, Sylvan, and one extra bonus language that I get to choose.
Keep your rain check, because this guy's speaking Hallet.
Cool.
As you are approaching, before you get too close to the hut, the man seems to notice you coming, and he turns and waves with a big grin on his face, and in Hallet says, "Don't stop in here if you value your lives!" And that's where we'll end this episode.
What?
Okay.
Get the tent ready, Zephyr.
None of you know what he said.
Not concerning.
All right, so Jenkins, you got the hero point for this episode.
Woo.
Yay!
Bringing the party together, keeping the meeting going.
Yeah, sorry, my brain died as to what I was supposed to be doing. Thank you guys so much. I'm so grateful. This definitely wasn't a because everyone else is full pick. I gotta go. I gotta use the restroom. Bye.
And we'll see you all in the next episode. This has been an Atomic Broadcasting production. Pathfinder, Galarian, and the Lost Omens world setting are copyright of Paizo. More information at paizo.com. Music in the show is from Monument Studios collection, as well as assorted artists, with some original tracks composed by Jordy Hake. More details in the description. If you enjoyed the show, please remember to share with a friend, and we'll look forward to seeing you again next time.
While we're breaking the fourth wall, Tyrone is here with the rest of my food.
Tyrone, get Tyrone, down here!
Tyrone, man.
Tyrone, you can hear me.
If he's still up there, invite him to play with us.
No. Child.